any of them. So like if you're traveling or, you know, different parts of the city, so just check. But my son actually asked me if I wanted to sign up, but I don't know. Getting up in the morning. How many people like getting up in the morning? Oh, see, there you go. And usually you have to get up like at 6 or something like that and go to the gym. My dad literally wakes up at 4:30 every morning. He just can't. He retired many years ago, and he just can't not wake up at 4:30. And he goes to the gym at 5:30. So, and he's 75. So, bless him, yeah. Well, anyways, so love our city. I think the airport campus, we're actually not in a community, so I think it's easier for you guys to love your city right here because you get to see the community, don't you? You get to see what God's doing. Even when you look out there, I'm like, man, let's bring our bathing suits. Do you ever think that? Can you go swimming after? Yeah, and go on the slide. Can you imagine after? Let's go. But anyways, it would be good. It would be good. So I think that Ajax has an amazing opportunity to love our city. And I remember when we sat down as pastors, and first of all, Stephen prayed about the theme this year, and we were really excited. And it's been interesting as our pastoral team has been listening, as we pray and ask the Lord, what is the theme? What are you saying to us, God? What happens is we start hearing little trickles all over where the Lord has been downloading it in other ministries and other people, churches, and prophetic people have been saying that kind of thing, that it's time to love our cities. And I remember last year, Mark DuPont, how many people know Mark DuPont? He came to our church. He had a specific word for our partners in Harvest who we're a part of, a word that he felt that it was time to start loving the small towns. It was time to start going into the small cities and just showing going in there and blessing the people. And we were really encouraged because we've spent, if you know part of the history of our church, we've been going to the nations. John and Carol Arnott are our founding pastors, and they've been going all over the world and preaching the Father Heart message, and it has gone literally everywhere. Stephen and I went in October with a team to Mozambique. Anybody here come with us? Anyways, they're going to be having another opportunity this coming year to go back. So if you're interested, just start listening. But it's amazing when you go into all these little churches in the middle of Africa, they all know about the Father's Heart. And you go into those little huts. And I remember when we were in Mozambique, we went to a little village. And you're driving along, and the roads are good, and the sun is setting, and it's beautiful. And then all of a sudden you stop, and you drive in, and all of a sudden there's this village, and there's no electricity, no nothing. They don't have any, 7-Elevens or, anything like that. They're just there. And they're the most beautiful homes, little dirt huts, with the grass, roofs. Those kind of things. And I always say when you go to nations where it's the poorest of the poor, they love the Father and they have the cleanest dirt in the whole earth. If you know what that I mean, like they sweep their dirt to make it nice and clean. I go into parts of Mexico and Cuba and stuff like that, and they're just they might be really poor in the natural, but they have the cleanest area, and they just have such big hearts and such loving hearts. So we just have such a great opportunity. I know that you guys have been doing the series on loving our city, and the first part was peace and prosperity in the city. Last week, our pastor, Linda Dumpkin, at the airport campus, she spoke on praying for the city. That's what Alex was praying about, right? Next week, you guys are in for a treat for Harp and Bowl. That is great. How many people have ever experienced Harp and Bowl? It is amazing. If you come and you don't know what they're doing, just relax and just be in his presence. Just listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. Has anybody here been to IHOP in Kansas City? It's quite interesting because you walk into this room like this and there's people that just worship, and in the midst of the worship they start praying, and then they start praying scripture. So it's so powerful there. They're just beginning to reach that whole area. Everybody knows about IHOP, and I think that everybody's going to know about Ajax, which is really good. Okay, let's turn to Jeremiah 20:29. And I'm just going to read 5 to 7. And it says, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. That's good, isn't it? Can you imagine Jeremiah speaking that into Ajax? And he comes into Ajax and he says, you know, you've come from another nation and this is what I want you to do, plant gardens and I want you to marry. And you're like, yes. It says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper too. And that's what I love about this whole theme about loving our city. I love the fact that we get to fall in love with our city all over again. Now, quick question. How many people in this room were born in Canada? Wonderful. And have you lived in the, who's lived in the Ajax area? How long have you guys lived in the Ajax area? How long? 50 years? Wow. You must have known my husband's family. That's amazing. So Ajax has really changed for you. You have Ajax in your blood, don't you? That's amazing, isn't it? Imagine 50 years in Ajax and thinking 50 years. Like, so your family was born here? In Toronto, and then you came here. That's amazing. How many people here? Well, I'm assuming that the rest of you were born in another nation. Yeah, so let me ask you a question, because I'm Canadian. I was born in Toronto, so I'm just Toronto, Scarborough. I was brought up in Scarborough and lived there until I got married, and then we moved to Mississauga, and then we moved back to Scarborough for a little while, and then we moved back to Mississauga, but pastor in Toronto. But those of you, who's from another nation? You guys, you're from another nation? Okay, what nation are you from?
Ghana.
Okay, so how long have you been in Canada?
30 years.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to feel like this was your home?
Maybe 10 years. Yeah.
It's a long time, isn't it? So if you were to say, you know, obviously Ghana is your home, but do you feel like this is your home?
Yes, I do, yeah.
So what do you love about Ajax? Do you live in Ajax?
It's quiet and safe, and people are friendly. Everything is close by. It's a little town, and it's a very good place.
So what was different between Ghana and Ajax for you? I know the weather, you know, but but like in terms of the feeling, what do you miss about Ghana?
I miss the, people are always, you see a lot of people on the street or outside, and people help each other. Very friendly, very supportive. It's community-oriented. It's like raising a child. It's not just the parents. Every adult can raise your child.
That's interesting, isn't it? So how many people, okay, from who's from another nation? Okay, where are you from?
Philippines.
Okay, what would you say? How could you compare that same question? Well, how long, first of all, have you lived in Canada?
30 years.
30 years. So if you could compare the Philippines to Ajax, do you live in Ajax?
I did for a time. I was here in 94 to 98, and most of the times we were also worshiping in a church in Ajax. And we're back again in Ajax worshiping here. You know?
So what's the difference between the Philippines and in the area that you live in right now?
Well, most of all is it's obvious that we moved to Canada because of, they said, quote, life is much better. So I am assuming that was hope-wise, materialistic-wise, you know, that was like, you know, that's always the concept of it. And, you know, it's funny that you brought up the fact that you went to Mozambique and you've seen people living in the huts. And I'm proud to say that to everyone, I've experienced living in a hut and having no electricity. Wow. So it's a lot different because, you know, I've raised children now, and I've always told them, I said, your dad used to gather wood and fetch water up from the well, and, you know, you guys have it all. You just turn the tap. And so that's basically the big difference over here. But you know what I really like about here is there's a very good concept of being organized. You know, I came from a country where it's not so much organized, you know, so here you get a good concept for being organized.
There you go. See, that's interesting, isn't it? So I think it is truly the community living that you like. I remember when we went to India about 2 years ago, we went to Mumbai, and there's thousands of people like within a 5 mile radius. And at night, everybody's out on the street. You know, they've had their meal and they're out on the street and they're not like inside watching TV. I don't even think they have, like, if they do, they might just have a little box. But it's the community living, it's the helping living. And I think that's the key thing, that the body of Christ, we get an opportunity now to actually go into our community and we get to help. And the good thing about being brought up in the Philippines and Ghana is that you know how to do community. You know how to do it. And so you get to show us how to do it. You get to be part of that. And the other day we had someone at our house and they said, well, what are your neighbors like? And this is true. In the winter, you don't see your neighbors, do you? Because we're all stuck in the house. But once spring comes, that's why I love spring. When spring comes, you're like out on the street, you know, like you're talking to your neighbors, you're doing your gardening, you're picking up the garbage. And it's almost like, you know, the winter has passed and the spring has come and everybody's, you know, boring each other. Well, we do. We borrow each other's tools and things so that, you know, like if you're going to trim your tree, you know, the big long thing, not everybody on the street has to have one. The one thing I love about my neighborhood is that they actually shovel our driveway for us. So John doesn't need to come over and do that. When we're not there, but we shovel, what we do is we try to shovel, we always shovel our neighbor's driveway, our driveway. We do the sidewalks on either side, and we extend it always to one side. And so we try and live on our cities. And I think it's kind of neat when you wake up in the morning and you're like, hey, my driveway's done. So it's amazing. Okay, I just thought that was interesting. I just wanted to share too quickly, how many people remember Erica Schmidt? She was one of our missionaries. Some of you might know her from Afghanistan. She'd been there for about 5 years. And about a year ago, she passed away. But the thing I asked her before she left to go back to Afghanistan, I said, we were just talking about her love for the Afghanistan people. And she says, I really love that nation. And she said, if I were to choose where I want to die, even though she was born in Canada, raised in Canada, she says, I would want to die in Afghanistan. So it'd be interesting, isn't it? Like if you, like, I know you're here now, but if you, I know you're not going to die for many years, but because you're, but yeah. But if you were to choose, if God said, you know, where would you like to be buried? Where would you want to be buried?
Back home.
Yeah, there's something in your heart, right? And so as a nation, Canadians, we're so multicultural that I think we have a great opportunity. We had some people, even Chris and Laura Dupre, they live in Nashville, and they've been staying with us for the last week while he's been ministering at the conference. And Laura came in on Wednesday, and we went to a mall yesterday. Malls are good, right? Yes, thank you, Jesus. I do relax in malls. We went to a mall yesterday, and she says, I just can't believe how many different people are here. Because sometimes you live in, like, little places. And it's like when I went to India, to Mumbai, I really felt like I'm the only white person. And you're walking, and you're like, and everybody's looking at you. But, you know, when you're in Canada, I mean, isn't it amazing? Even if you look around, we're so blessed to have such multiculturalism. It's excellent. One of the things that I was excited about, that Lance Wallner, how many people have heard of him? I would definitely see if you can go on the web, the Catch the Fire TV, and try and listen to it this week, because I think it's usually up for a week and then it goes down. But if you are a Catch the Fire TV member, you can get it after that. But if you listen to some of his talks, but a number of years ago he came to our church, and he talked about the seven mountains. And I know that, how many people have heard that message? The seven mountains. So he talked about, he was a pastor for years, but the Lord had really gifted him in the business field and to communicate. And so he was getting frustrated, and I guess the Lord spoke to him, and he just began to speak to him about the seven mountains. Now, I don't really know if Lance was the original person. Do you know who? Yeah. Yeah, so he received that revelation. So he's talking about, like, the seven mountains. He's talking about there's areas of influence that we all have in our lives. And some of us, like John, the Tanyans and I, like we're in the church. And then there's people that have influence in family, education, government, arts and entertainment, media and business. And so he reminded us again about what God was doing in terms of that whole area, about just like we need to get involved. We need to, so many people, like, I think what I love, and this is where the church needs to, you know, we need to pick up, and I know that we've been trying as a ministry since we've been coming to the church. John and Carol Arna, our founding pastors, they really started equipping us. And I think that's a thing. Wouldn't it be great if people would come to the church to get equipped so that they can go into their businesses and into what God's doing? And if you go on to, I'll just give you the email, and then you, when you get home, you can go on to it. But I found it really interesting. But Lance Walna gave a his email, and it's called 21questions@lancelearning.com. So 21questions@lancelearning.com. And if you go on it, I briefly went on it last night. He gave us this email at the conference, but he gave it to like 5,000 other people. And he's talking about journaling, you know, Mark Verkler stuff. And he's going through all the stuff. Now, I didn't read the whole thing, but I would just encourage you just to go on there and just take some time. But we learned about journaling. We learned about listening to the voice of God. And I just think that... it's absolutely amazing what God has been doing. And again, just even what Lance spoke the other day when he was speaking is what we're doing. I think it's really neat when people from the business sphere come into the church and confirm that what we're doing is what, you know, is going to happen. I know that, how many people know George and, do you know George and Heidi Amponson? They're not pastors, but a couple from Ghana. He's from Ghana. And I know Stephen has told the story before, but he found a plant in Ghana that grows. It's like a weed that can turn into oil. So he's actually built an oil refinery place in Ghana. And they're saying that in Ghana, three quarters of the people there are born again Christians, which is amazing. Isn't that amazing? And so when you go on to Lance Walna and there's books called The Seven Mountains. When you go on there, it's like George has gone into Ghana and gotten and started raising up people, you know. So what he's doing, he's really taking a city and nation, influencing them, giving them jobs, but also now coming in and just trying to help them. It's really good. You'll have to want to connect you, but Ghana is I've never been there, but I know that John Arnott went there a few months back with a couple of our people, and they did one of our leader school. So it's good. Okay. Equipping is key. It is interesting. I just wanted to tell this one story. I was talking to somebody yesterday on the phone, and I thought it was absolutely amazing. This is where the church needs to step up to the plate. I know in the past, and I don't want to declare this anymore over our church, because I believe that Ajax is a church that will influence this area, right? And we're going to start, you know, speaking that and declaring that. I think that, you know, there's a lot of churches that have done things, you know, like when you, I'm not going to say church, like, because we've all made mistakes. People, we're human. We do things, we say things, and then the world doesn't have respect for us anymore. Even way, way back, like I know that my mother was brought up in the Catholic Church, and there was just a lot of stuff that went on there, but you know, God has been cleaning up the church. And I want to thank you all that when you guys go to the encounters and you do all those things, I want to thank you, because what you're doing is you're cleaning up your heart. And you're becoming men and women of integrity so that you can influence the people that are around you. And I really honor you and thank you. I don't know many people that would do that, but I just want to bless you as you do that, that you keep raising the standard, so that as you raise the standard and you go into your workplace, into your wherever, if you're even, I remember even as a mom, like I stayed home with my kids and I raised them at home, and I would join community events, you know, like with, you know, bring my kids, you know, to play with other kids. We would do those kinds of things, and I always got on with everybody because I just was a nice person. Like, I wasn't, I just was. But anyways, I hope that we're all nice people, and that people are that people are saying, hey, you know, I like you. I want to hang around with you. I hope that when you guys go into your businesses and you get your little 3-month, you know, reviews, that they're saying, you know what, you're a man or a woman of integrity. We really like you. That kind of thing. I think that's where God is just coming in. He's wanting us to influence in that way. Anyways, the story that, and I won't be very too specific, because I it was a good story, but I was speaking to somebody where their brother had just passed away, and it was they went back to the States for the funeral, and in the midst of the conversation, I said to the person, I said, did your brother know the Lord? And he said, well, he did when we were kids. He became a Christian, but when he was 10, he got hurt, and somebody hurt him really bad in the church, and he started growing up, and as a teenager, he just totally rebelled from the Lord, and that's happened to a lot of people, hasn't it? They've gotten hurt in the church, and we don't want to get hurt in the church, do we? We want to get healed up in the church. Anyways, there was over 1,000 people at his funeral. I've never been to a funeral that big, but the one question that somebody asked, and the person I was talking to was just totally amazed. Here's a man that walked away from the Lord but had given his life when he was a young boy. And the question was, how many people here were fathered by this man? And I was like, wow, they really said that? And he said, and the person said, I want you to stand up and I want you to tell, you know, just let's just see how many people were fathered. And he said, just over 100 people stood up. So can you imagine a man who was hurt in the church? Somehow in the midst of his life, he passed away, and yet there was something inside of him where he was able to father, you know, the broken people. And so and I think that, wouldn't that be made, like when I have my funeral, when I die, actually, I was listening to Krista Pray lead worship the other day, and he sang the song Indescribable. You remember that song? And I said, I want that song at my funeral. Do you ever think about that? Anyways. I have to start thinking about those things. You know what? The scripture, I don't want it to be, if you come to my funeral in 50 years, I'm going to give myself lots of time. In 50 years, if you come to my funeral, I hope that we're going to sing that song. And I think it's going to be really good. One of the things that Lance said, he says, we need to raise up champions in our spheres. I thought that was really a good quote. I'll just say it again. We need to raise up champions in our spheres. And so that's what John and Alex get to do as pastors of this church. They see the potential. The Lord speaks to them and they say, this is what I see in you. You know, like, I don't know you, but what's your name? Shirley. Shirley, I just think that you have such a big spirit that you, I don't know what you do here either, but I just see you as a teacher. And so that's part of what, you know, like, we need to come in and just by the presence of God, we just become light, and whatever oozes out of us, you know, it's like when you guys at the beginning, I think it's great that you keep the doors open and that people can come in and have their coffee. I mean, that I'm sure that they're very happy. The other thing that Lance said, he said, our job is to invade realms with the way God thinks. And so that's the key thing, is when we're going to go into a community, we really need to pray and say, Holy Spirit, you know, what do you want to do? Not what do we want to do? You know, because sometimes there's a religious part, right? And if we're going to influence an area, we can't be religious. We have to do it out of relationship, don't we? And that's the key thing. Because I think that people are used to the religious part, and they're like, ooh, I have to tell you this one story. This is years ago. Now, obviously, I've grown up, but I was like 21. And I remember working in this office, and I was the receptionist, and all of a sudden, two nuns walked in. And I was brought up in a Baptist church, so I didn't see anybody outside of my... And I remember looking at them, and there was a fear that came on me. I didn't see the people. I just saw them as nuns. And I'm like, I was like, ooh. And I was just like, I was a young pastor, but I was afraid of them. anyways, I opened the thing, and hi, can I help you? And they said, we're here for a donation. And I just said, okay, just a minute. And I walked to my boss, and I said, I'm not dealing with that one. But anyways, I just thought it was, I couldn't do it. Now I would think, oh, they're just people. But, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, there's sometimes when you look at somebody, and there's just like, ooh. But anyways, I would rather, like, fear came into me. But I would rather somebody look at us and that we would penetrate his love and kindness and that kind of thing. And I think that's how we're going to get people. I know it's how we're going to get people. Another quote was, and this is from Mary Audrey. She wrote, Raycroft, she said, we need to realize as people of the kingdom of God, we are designed and called to make a difference in the society we live in. In Matthew, let's just turn to Matthew 5. 13 to 16. I'm just going to read that quickly for you. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. I think that this might be in the message. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Isn't that neat that as we become light, that he would see it? And the key thing, and Steve and I were talking about this last night, and he said, you know, this is what Stephen says. When we speak before, we do good deeds and people, like, so if I come in and nobody knows me and I just start doing stuff, they don't know me. They don't know have a relationship with me. They know nothing about me. But if I come in and start doing good stuff and I don't want the affirmation, I just want to do it because I love my city, I love my community, people start watching that, don't they? And all of a sudden, it's almost like it gives us the right to be able to go into a city, the right to be able to go in to speak. I know my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Richard and Terry, Stephen's brother, they used to work at the, they do a bit still, but the National House of Prayer in Ottawa. And one of their big things is the National House of Prayer is right there, and they've been praying faithfully for, I think it's over 6 years now, for all the MPs and the government there. What they do is they pray, but they start slowly going in and praying for the MPs. Now, when they came in day one, they didn't go in to the MPs or to Stephen Harper or any of those guys and say, oh, we're the National House of Prayer, can we meet with you? You know, they started being faithful in what they were doing, and slowly they started gaining their trust. And that's what we need to do. We have to slowly gain the people around their trust. You know, I remember a guy when my Christopher was just a little boy, and we had just moved into our house, and I remember this man that walked out across the street, and Chris was just playing ball just on the driveway, and the man just started talking to Christopher, and he said, oh, can I play with you? Well, of course, every mother, you know what that feels like. You're like, I don't know who this man is. What is he doing talking to my son? Is he going to hurt my son or whatever? So I didn't want to go out and be, you know, like a mean person or anything, but, you know, the mother bear in me just sort of nicely goes out, and hi, how are you? And, you know, sort of talked him away from my son. But, you know, that kind of thing. Because I'm like, nobody's touching my boy. You know, mothers know that, right? And you know, he slowly crossed the street. But to me, he came on full, too strong, too quickly for me as a person. But if, you know what? If he had of, you know, while we were walking on the street, had to start talking to me, oh, how are you doing? This is, you know, building that relationship. I would have been fine with that. But I just thought about that, so... Okay, now this is the part about salt, and this is a thing. Think about some of the uses of salt. It's a seasoning, right? So, like, if I grab a thing of salt, and I just, does anybody like that, actually, by the way? Like, would you put salt and dip your finger in and just put it on your tongue? Okay, I just want to make sure. Because actually, it doesn't, it's like really, isn't it? I even thought of how many people have tried to, like, when you go on diets, you know, the women buy those salt substitute things, they don't taste good either. So I think salt is salt. It tastes good. But anyways, it's salt is used for, it gives flavoring. It gives zest and spice. It's a preservative. Think of way, way back, you know, when I used to watch Little House on the Prairie when I was a kid. You know, they'd have those little houses out the back with the meat, and then they put the salt in so that the meat would preserve and stay good. We are all called to be salt. We're all called to be full of zest and spice in our communities. Would somebody look at us in our neighbor? How many people have a neighbor where you go, oh, anybody have that? I know, we don't want to judge them, right? But I remember Mary Audrey Raycroft once saying her neighbor, I don't know, this is years ago, they had painted their the stones in the front blue. You know, like, really, you know, like, we, blue. Like, it's just blue. And so she came in one day, and she's just like, oh, those neighbors of you know. So hopefully we're not one of those neighbors, right? Hopefully we're not one of those neighbors where our neighbors are saying, oh, those neighbors, they're so religious, you know, or they paint this and they do that. We don't want that. We want, like, if somebody moves into our area, we want to say, oh, they're really nice people. You know, these people do this, they do that, you know, and have that kind of thing. And so that's how we're just, like, we're serving our city and just by the way we live. The thing about salt, it needs to be inside of something to work, doesn't it? So when you boil potatoes, actually I don't use salt much, but when you boil potatoes, you're supposed to put salt in it so that when the potatoes are boiling, the salt works into the potatoes. If left on bare earth or exposed to the sun, rain, and air, it loses its savor and it's worthless. And we know, that's interesting, isn't it? Salt is better when you cook with it. And that's kind of like our faith. You know, like sometimes, you know, we have a surface faith, don't we? And I'm just going to read this part. It says, the difference between a surface faith is if your faith, you know, like a shallow faith, which has no real flavor. And so think of it that big. How big is your faith? You know, like, do you have a faith that is just shallow, or do you have a faith that is deep? Has the salt gone in deeper and deeper in that area? And do you have the seasoning of God in your life? Like, I want to be a good season. Like, I want people to see God in me. Have we been transformed? Have we been marinated in the Holy Spirit? And I think the key thing is, again, the one thing that we, I think, as a ministry have done really well is equipping our people and bringing in people to show us how to do things and say, you know, we can't figure out this. Like, if somebody's got a good idea, that was the one thing that I loved about John and Carol Arnott was, like, they were so hungry that they were so desperate for the presence of God that they went all the way to Argentina, paid their own bill just to see what was happening there. Wouldn't you do that, right? You guys, you know, like, if today, and you never know, but if somebody in your church gets healed, all of a sudden it just trickles, doesn't it? And people want to come in and they want to experience that kind of thing. Now, let me just read you this. This is verse 14, but again, it's in another version of the Bible, but it says, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. Do you bring out God colors in the world? Or do you bring out other colors? Some people do that, don't they? God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? How many people sometimes, you know, get a little nervous when you have to, you think, oh, I should pray for that person, you know, and then you get really scared. But he's just saying, go for it, go for it. I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hill, top on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. I think that the one thing that I love about the church is that we can be open, right? I was raised in a church that you weren't allowed to be open. you weren't allowed to be really who you were. So I really try. Thank you. I really try hard to be real. I know Stephen is even more real. No, if you know him. Only some of you can laugh because you know him. But anyways, we try to be really real. But hopefully in our realness, the presence of God and the light and the salt of God comes out of us, right? Now, John mentioned, I was just saying, so what are some of the ways that we can serve our city? Now, wouldn't it be great? Like, I love the whole thing about shoveling snow. I think that's a great idea. How many people have one of those electric things? What do you call them? Snow blowers. Anybody? Wow. Do you have a snow blower? Oh, you have a gas one. See, gas one's even better because he can put that in his van. Oh, it's too heavy. Okay. Anyways. Pardon? Oh, you help your neighbor. Well, that's the thing about our street. A lot of our street are older people, and so they've bought those snow blowers, and so that's why we get our driveway done. It's so nice. It's very nice. We do the little. I like the little. But there's that kind of thing. It's just like caring for others. I like this story. I'm always so proud of my kids when I hear about these stories, but I think it's actually kind of funny at the same time. My son Chris lives in England with his wife, and he's 22, so he's just a young guy. But he's really, you know, he's called to the ministry, so he's positioned himself in a really good church, and he's going to, eventually he'll get there. But probably about 3 months ago, he was walking, and there was a man in front of him who had a limp. And he really felt that the Holy Spirit said, you know, I want you to go pray for that man. I want you to go and ask the man if he wants, if you can pray for him. And so he went up to the man and he said, you know, excuse me, sir, you know, I see that you're limping. Could I pray for you? And the man said yes. And so he prayed for the man, and the man literally got healed right then and there. Don't you love it when God shows up like that? And the guy was like, I've been suffering with this for like 5 years. He was so excited. He phoned his wife. And I think he was a churchgoer. Like, Christian didn't know him, but he went to a church. And he was so excited because he said, you know, I've suffered with the pain and the anxiety of having this really, with the pain in his leg. Anyways, now, I'm not saying that this is going to happen all the time, but this is what happens when there's favor and when you have a really good heart. Sometimes it happens. The man says to Christopher, he was so grateful. He said, Christopher, or to Chris, he said, if you could have anything in the whole wide world, what would you want? And he said, well, and Chris, you got to remember, he's 22. Oh, I'd like an iPad. You know, like he just said that. So he didn't pray for the man to get an iPad. So the man, you have to know in England, the man pulls out a wad of cash and he just plops it in his hand, and he said, this should get you to, you know, on the way to get that iPad. And it was £350. Wow. Isn't that amazing? So I thought, but I think the thing that overwhelmed the man was that here was a 22-year-old taking the time in his community, listening to the Holy Spirit, getting revelation, you know, and going and stopping and taking time and praying for him. And it must have been something inside of him that just was so overwhelmed. About a week and a half ago, I got a text from my daughter-in-law, which is my son's wife, and she says, you'll never guess, Christopher was helping a lady with her shopping. I guess, I haven't heard all the details, so I'm just assuming that she was walking and she had a lot of groceries, and he just helped her. And the lady gave him £240. So, you know, and I'm like, yes, you know. But again, like, it's not like Chris went out after the man and helped everybody and hoped that he would get money. He actually listened to what the Holy Spirit said, and he just, you know, there was something inside him. He was salt, and he was light, and he decided that he was going to go. And I think our world out there, there's a lot of people. Like, Shirley, when she said, like, in Ghana, the part that she missed was the community. Like, we just don't go out into our neighborhoods. Now, I know that there's some neighborhoods culturally, like, I know if you go into, if you're from India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, those there's a lot of neighborhoods in that area. And in the summertime, you see them sitting out with all their families. They come over. I think it's great. And wouldn't it be great, like, whatever community that you started something, that you just said, you know what, instead of staying in and watching TV, now, I know now, you know, but you could shovel snow, I guess. But, you know, but, like, in the spring and in the summer, you know, start sitting outside. And I know that Stephen and I, when we lived in Scarborough years ago when we were first married and we just had our first son, we lived in a townhouse complex and we didn't have any air conditioning. So all the neighbors always sat outside. And we always, you know, and everybody knew that we were pastors. And we had an opportunity. So everybody knows that you're going to be light. Everybody knows that you're going to be salt. And I think that's the exciting part about loving our city. The whole thing about going to the, what's the place where we're doing the kids thing? The Fun Fair, wherever it is. The International Center. I don't think it's the Hershey Center. I think it's, anyways, wherever it is. But that's why we're so excited about it. These guys are actually amazed that a church, a local church, is going to come into an area and actually volunteer their time to help, you know, serve the community. And the great thing, it's not that we're looking to do it for money. We just want to be influencers in our city. We want to take our city back, don't we? We want to be kind and generous. We want to see our city prosper. And we don't want to be, oh, it's you, the church. We want to be, oh, this church, they helped us. They were generous. That's what I love about even in Scarborough. We've been connecting with some of the local pastors in Scarborough. And they like, there was a shooting in Scarborough about, I think about 5-6 years ago, where, you know, a number of people, but there's shootings everywhere, Jane and Finch, that whole area. And a lot of the, and you don't always hear those things, but there's a lot of local churches that actually go in and they bring healing into those neighborhoods. And so we get an opportunity to do that. So I just want to encourage you and bless you and just say, you know, that Catch the Fire, we want to love our city this year. We want to get out there. I know that John Arnott had talked he spoke at our church. I just can't remember when now. But one of the things that he talked about was that he really felt that Jesus was coming soon. And when you look around, you know, there's signs of the time. There's been signs everywhere. And nobody can say the date or the time. But if you knew, if you had a dream tonight and the Lord spoke to you and said to you, you know what, I'm coming back tomorrow, what would you do? You know, like, would you huddle your family around? Or would you be, like, knocking on the doors? I remember Patricia King telling the first time when she gave her life to Jesus. She tells this whole testimony about how she had this revelation and visit from the Lord, and she became a Christian like that. And she was so overwhelmed with that experience. She literally went out and started knocking on people's doors saying, did you know about this? So what would you do, you know, like, literally, if tomorrow, you know, Jesus is saying, time's up. You know, we wouldn't be having church here, would we? We would be going out into, hey, guys, you know, and we would be praying and interceding, you know. And that's the great thing about intercession, because there's people that intercede so that we can go out and do that. So I just want to encourage you as you do that. I also just to end, I want to encourage you. I know that we be working on the Lorette, and I know that at our campus that we were encouraging our cell groups to go into that. And there's character building and courage. There's a courage section, a vision section, and a leadership section. But you know what? Catch the Fire has the other part. We have the Father heart of God. We get to go in. And so think of it this way. John was supposed to, and it didn't work out, but when he first connected with these guys from Lorette, he said, yes, this is good, this is good. But then he was saying, yes, we have the other part. We have the other part. We have encounters. We know how to soak. We have leadership training. We know all, so we can slowly bring those things in and kind of finish it. That's the great thing about churches. We all need each other, right? You need the churches in this community just as much as we do in the Toronto area. So I just want to bless you. How about we just stand up? Now, what I want you to do, as you stand, I just want you to, there's a gal in our church, and she's very shy, but she came up to me, and she's done this twice now, but she actually without anybody knowing, she goes into a shelter in Toronto, and she came up to me and she said, Sandra, you know, I would really love it. I go into a shelter, you know, every week, a couple times a week, to try and encourage the women and the people that are in there, because shelters are not very nice all the time. And she says, one thing they need are shoes. And she says, you know, wouldn't it be great, you know, if the church could arrange for us to give shoes? And I said, wouldn't it be great if you could do it? And that's the thing. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, instead of, I said, I would love to help you, but I would love to announce and say, wouldn't it be great, you know, that I get up here and say, I'll just say Shirley because I can't remember her name. If Shirley was the shoe lady, and that she, and we bring shoes to Shirley, and she goes into the shelters and she brings the shoes. And that's what we get to do, isn't it? Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor. Just turn to somebody you don't know and just say, you know, give them just, actually get into little groups right now, like three or four people, okay? And if you're with a family, go with somebody else, okay? Try and go different, because then you talk more, right? Because when it's with your own family, you don't always talk as much. Now, what I want you to do is say, you know, this is an area in my city, like the shelters or whatever, where I help, okay? Or give an idea and just begin to pray into that. Like, because I really feel that God wants to like, we're not aware of things that are happening. Okay, who's got a place, who helps right now in some place, in a city area? Anybody? Anybody do anything? Volunteer? Anybody? Anybody know anything? A volunteer? Yeah, where do you? You work with City of Toronto, right? So, I mean, if you want an idea there, there's an idea right there. My sister-in-law works for the City of Toronto, too. And, you know, like, there's stuff available, but they just need people to go in, don't they? Do you remember, in the summertime when there was that big explosion in Scarborough? You know that, yeah. My sister-in-law was one of the people that was on that team that were going in there. People get fearful, you know, when things like that happen. There were people literally that lived in that community. They wanted to get back into their apartments, and the people couldn't understand, and they said, well, all of our life savings is in the freezer. So, like, it's interesting, isn't it? So, like, they need to be in a place where they feel safe. So let's just start praying. Like, say where you live. Like, so if you live in Ajax, pray for Ajax. Just begin to call out to God for that. Just take a few moments there. Just begin to pray that you would be a salt and light in those places.